the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 24th of June 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, I hope you enjoyed the Celtic Saints of Britain, which I recorded last week with Florian Geyer. I had a nice week off, a lovely week off. In actual fact, I had guests staying with me, so I couldn't do any podcast last week, but I did enjoy doing the Celtic Saints series, and it does appear like listeners also enjoyed that. This week we're going to get back into current events. I've got three news stories for you today that I think are particularly interesting. The first one comes from Sweden. Sweden. It is always worst in Sweden, because they have a feminist government. Half the government in Sweden is female, and I think that has a lot to do with the problems that they have over there. And this is particularly sick, this story. A migrant suspected of raping and sexually abusing a much younger girl claims that he did not know it was illegal in Sweden because no one had told him. Now, and people will say, oh, well, this can't be true. Surely he must have known. But what this shows us is that these people do not have the same morals as us, let alone the same laws as us in their own countries. They don't see right and wrong in the same way that we do. They don't have the same conscience that we have that would tell us that something like this is wickedly evil. And yet he just saw it as something natural to do. Raping the young girl in a family that he had been placed with. Well, what's wrong with doing that? Obviously, that must go on in Afghanistan if this is just normal behavior for him. And this is a real problem. A lot of the time, these foreign rapists, they speak the truth, or these foreign murderers, they speak the truth, and people just don't pay any attention to it. When they say, I just did this because I could, I did this because it's just normal things to do in my own country, nobody pays any attention to that and thinks, well, that shows us that they do not have the same morals that we do. They don't think in the same way that we do. They continue to cling to this idea that the only difference between us is skin colour, yet all the evidence shows that there are huge differences between the different races. We're not all the same under the skin. We don't all have the same blood. In actual fact, you can pretty much tell what race somebody is by what blood group they are. The suspected sexual abuse took place in April of this year at a family home with the young girl whose exact age has not been revealed. It is alleged she was forced to have sex with the supposedly 17-year-old migrant, newspaper Lokaltidningen reports. So this supposedly 17-year-old Afghan had been put with a foster family. It's not like he grabbed a girl off the street. He'd actually been taken into this family home. He'd been treated as if he was a family member by these altruistic Swedes, by these kind-hearted people that care for children, love children, and want to help children. He was placed with them, and they repaid these lovely, kind parents with their misplaced altruism by raping their daughter, which he thought was perfectly fine, a perfectly normal thing to do. When questioned, the migrant reportedly admitted that he had had sex with the young girl, but said that it had not been a crime and was just something that happened between two children. This reminds me of the report last year of the two Somalian children that tried to eat a young white baby. And this happened again, actually, in America this year. There was a report of two black children that bit chunks out of a young white child. And the mother of these Somali animals said, well, this is just what children do. This is just children's behavior. This is just normal behavior. Well, it's normal behavior for Somalis, obviously, but it's not normal behavior for white people. And raping your foster sister is not normal behavior for white people either. This is Afghani behavior. This is because they are an entirely different people. And it's like when you compare the behavior of dogs to cats. They're not the same. They're not the same creature. Yes, they are four-legged animals, the same as we are two-legged bipeds. But that doesn't mean that they are the same creature, or that they are going to have the same characters, or do the same things. And these court cases prove that yes, actually, when we do see a physical difference, there is also a mental difference. And everything that we see in the world has a form to it, and the form is intrinsically linked with the function. If something has a different form, then it obviously has a different function. You know, our eyes don't deceive us. These people don't look like us because they're not like us. And we're being told that they are like us. It's like 1984 when he's told that 2 plus 2 equals 5 and black is really white. And this is literally what we're being told, that the black is really white, that Afghans are just the same as us. In an administrative court, it was argued that while the migrant did admit to the crime, he was not aware of the laws regarding sexual relations, and that no one in Sweden had taught him what the laws and expected norms were. Nobody had taught him the difference between right and wrong. So how is he to be expected to know the difference between what right and wrong? You see, we expect people to have the same intuitive understanding of good and evil that we do. And they don't. These people do not have that same understanding. And you can look at the Negroes in Africa. They never even came up with a system of law. They don't understand the golden rule. The golden rule is treat others how you would wish to be treated. Now, this Afghan clearly has never thought of that in his life before. Would he like to be raped? Of course he wouldn't like to be raped. But what does it matter to him? This is somebody from another race. It's not a part of his... not a part of his group. And from what he's saying, even the people that are a part of his group, it's perfectly fine to treat them like that. And, you know, we hear about this from the American soldiers that are in Afghanistan that have been told that they are not allowed to arrest paedophiles over there. When they see elder men raping 5, 6, 7-year-old boys, they just have to leave that alone. That's because that's a cultural norm over there. That's just part of their culture. And we are importing this sick, twisted culture into our countries, and Sweden is at the forefront of that. The representative argued that the court should not proceed with the prosecution, claiming that the young man had been doing well in school and that his school progress would be harmed if he were to be prosecuted. So once again, they're trying to put the needs of the criminal above the needs of the victim to see justice. Thankfully, the court did not agree with the representative, but how could the representative even think of saying something like that? Well, he's doing well in school, so we better not prosecute him. I mean, the guy has just raped a child, and his lawyer's excuse is, well, he's doing well in school at least, so we don't want to upset that. You're supposed to do well in school. All children are supposed to do well in school. They're supposed to work at school. It's not supposed to be something that they're supposed to be get extra praise for, or extra privileges for simply going to school and studying. And yet this is given as some kind of mitigating factor here, that he shouldn't be prosecuted for raping. The court said that the migrant may be prosecuted for rape against the child. Investigators also revealed suspicions that the teen may actually be over 20 years old. Think about that. The court isn't saying that he will be prosecuted. They're saying that he may be prosecuted for raping a child. And about 80% of the so-called child migrants in Sweden are actually over the age of 20. And this has been proved there. Last year, the Swedish government announced a plan that became known as the High School Law, which allowed around 9,000 Afghan beard babies to remain in Sweden, despite reports claiming that 78% of the migrants were actually adults. And if they are going to allow them to lie and continue to lie that they are children, then they are going to be put with families to foster them, and they're going to be put into schools. And of course, we heard in Britain of a school that had an adult in it, an adult Iranian, that was making inappropriate comments to the children there, and parents were keeping their children home from school because they didn't want them in a class with a middle-aged Iranian man in there. And this is the situation that we have in Sweden. We're going to be seeing more of this. We're going to be seeing more children being raped because they're in close proximity to foreign people for whom rape is just a part of everyday life in their countries. And it's supported. It is supported by the mullahs because in their eyes, women and girls should not be out on their own. They should not be unaccompanied. They should always have a brother with them or a husband with them. If they don't have a brother or a husband with them, then they're fair game to be raped. And the raping itself encourages these women to cover themselves up, to wear burqas, and to make sure that they've got a male with them all the time. So they may sort of condemn it and say, well, that's wrong. But the onus, really, the blame that the mullahs will put on is on the woman. If a woman in Saudi Arabia claims that she's been raped, the woman will be prosecuted for that. The woman is the one that will be locked up in jail, not the man for raping her, because the woman should not have been out on her own. This is the way that it is over there, and this is what we are importing into Europe. The case comes after another rape case earlier this month involving 7 Afghan migrant suspects and 1 Swedish citizen, with one of the Afghan migrants having been employed by an asylum seeker integration charity. So one of the rapists was actually put forward as, well, this is a good example of an integrated asylum seeker. He's integrated so well into Swedish society that he's gang raping Swedish women with 6 other Afghans. Last year, many on the left expressed outrage after Swedish national broadcaster SVT revealed that 58% of men convicted of rapes in the previous 5 years had been born overseas, and that number increased to 85% in cases where the victim did not know the attacker beforehand. Think about that. 58% of all rapes in Sweden would, over the last 5 years, would never have occurred if they hadn't imported foreigners into their country, if they hadn't carried out treason against the Swedes. And 85% of cases where women are raped and they don't know their attacker, 85% of them would never have happened. Would never have happened if it wasn't for the invasion of Sweden, which is being facilitated by their feminist government. Well, I have got a couple of positive news stories after that sick one there. This actually comes from The Sun, and it's about Gab. Gab, of course, we support. We know some people criticise Andrew Torba for not going far enough with his free speech policy, but I'm just very pleased that we actually have somewhere where people can have free debate. You can't have free debate on Twitter anymore. You certainly can't have free debate on Facebook. You can have free debate on Gab, there is nothing stopping these lefties from going on there and debating nationalists and putting their facts forward if they think that we have got something wrong. Also on Gab, you can silence people. You can put certain words in there. If you don't want to hear racist language, you can put that word into the settings, and no Gab posts that contain that word will show up in your feed. And this is the sort of thing that Twitter and Facebook should be doing if they're concerned about people being offended by certain speech. You can just build something into the website so that people don't have to see it. You don't have to take people's voice away from them. And this news story, again, is attacking Gab, and good on Andrew Torba for standing up to them. This is from The Sun. It says, a vile website. Vile website. They do love to use that term. Vile. Like Millennial Woes, the vile blogger. A vile website targeting Meghan Markle and Prince Harry is refusing to take down its racists' posts and vows to protect extremists' rights, it has been reported. A website isn't targeting Meghan Markle or Prince Harry. This is people on there that obviously have taken a disliking to Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And as far as I'm aware, it's not illegal to take a disliking to royalty. I mean, the left make a big point about having a dislike for royalty and wanting to have a republic. And look at the way they say it, extremists' rights. Have any of these people that are making these posts, have they ever been involved in carrying out political violence? I doubt it. You are now an extremist simply for the words that you put down. Now that we have this concept of the non-violent extremist, which basically means law-abiding citizen who says things that the left don't like. The American site's bosses say they will not take them down, claiming they defend the right of British extremists to say what they want. I don't think they said they defend the right of British extremists. I think they would have said we defend the right of British people to say what they want on our website. It comes days after Britain's Michael Suchuk, 19, and Oscar Dunn Kozarowski, 18, were jailed for encouraging terrorism via posts on Gab. And we have talked about this story before when these young lads were arrested. The US-based site told the Sunday Mirror it promised to offer Brit extremists protection from state interference. Gab did remove the posts by Suchuk and Dunn Kozarowski following their arrests. Hours after the pair were sentenced, messages appeared on Gab accusing the 34-year-old royal of polluting the royal line, along with memes of black babies. Well, that's not illegal, is it? It's not illegal to say that Prince Harry has polluted the royal line by breeding with somebody who is black. I mean, obviously, that's going to change the bloodline of royalty. That's not illegal. Other sick posts directed at new mum Meghan use the N-word and called her a B-I-T-C-H. Well, that's not illegal either, and they weren't directed at her. Now, I don't think anybody was. I don't think they're even on Gab. I don't think the royals are on Gab. So how can anybody tag Meghan into a conversation and direct what they are saying at Meghan? They're not. They're just saying how they feel. And you don't have to follow these people if you don't want to. It's The Sun itself that is directing these posts at Meghan and directing the British people's attention to this and trying to say that it's somehow wrong for an American website to allow people to say whatever they like, so long as they're not encouraging violence. None of these people have been accused of encouraging violence, apart from these two lads that have been jailed for encouraging terrorism. And I think that is debatable. Obviously, a court has found them guilty. But all they did was put a couple of cartoons out with cartoon violence on them. People see cartoon violence all the time on the television, and nobody says that is encouraging terrorism. Gab is run by Texas millionaire Andrew Torba, and he claims his site protects the right to free speech. Good man. Andrew Torba, I think, is a good man, and we should support him. It has more than 850,000 members. Mr. Torba defended them by telling the Sunday paper, United States free speech jurisprudence protects offensive and hateful speech because it recognizes that unpopular speech, not popular speech, is what needs protection from state interference if society is to remain free, which England is not. We will not be taking down any content unless it is illegal in the United States. Our legal team, not whining complaints from reporters, makes those determinations. And I'm so pleased that he has said that. It seems that there have been some tech companies that have been standing up for free speech recently. The tech company that Bill Fink is with as well, reporters went after them and tried to get his sites taken down. And they actually stood by their terms of service because they claim they support free speech in their terms of service, and they stood by them. And good on Torba for standing by his principled stand here as well. Shuchuk, who was arrested in December at his halls of residence during his first year studying computer science at Portsmouth University, pleaded guilty in April to possession of documents, including the White Resistance Manual and the Al-Qaeda Manual. I mean, what are they saying here? Are they saying that he's some kind of ISIS jihadi? They didn't find any weapons. They didn't find any plans for terrorism. But because he had made a couple of cartoons which featured violence, he was jailed for 4 years and 3 months for 2 counts of encouraging terrorism and 5 counts of possession of terrorist material. Now, what would be really helpful would be if the government would actually publish a list of what they consider to be terrorist material. Because it seems to be that it depends on the person that is in possession of the material, whether it is actually terrorist material or not, which it tends to be very, that is completely subjective, isn't it? That's not objective. That's not objective evidence. I mean, they're asking juries to try and work out what character somebody has and whether reading this material, whether they'd be likely to carry it out. And what are they saying here? That this young white lad is likely to carry out the instructions in the Al-Qaeda manual? And there was a podcast a while back. I forget the name of it. And they actually went through the Al-Qaeda manual. The podcast itself was going through all these different revolutionary manuals and dissecting them and talking about them and analyzing them. He certainly wasn't encouraging people to go out and carry out suicide bombings. So it would be a real help if the government would actually publish what they consider to be terrorist material or banned books, because that's what they are saying, isn't it? They're saying that there is now a banned book list, but they're not actually going to tell us what the banned book list is. They're just going to, when they find somebody they want to punish, somebody they want to jail, they're just going to pull out some of their books and say, well, this is terrorist material. I don't understand how that can be legal. And also, I don't understand how they can actually have a list of banned books. Wasn't that something that the National Socialists were supposed to be criticised for? Isn't that something that the Catholic Church is criticised for? China is criticised for? Perhaps that's why they won't actually release the list. And also, I think because of this, I mean, I would obviously suggest that people don't make violent memes. You don't have to make violent memes depicting violent acts, because that is what has got these two young lads jailed, is the fact that they made this violent cartoon. And I know that a lot of people are fond of making violent cartoons. They're not saying that this should really take place. It's along the lines of the slapstick humour that you see in cartoons, like Tom and Jerry. But if people are going to be arrested for it, then obviously I would advise people not to make them. We don't want young lads to be jailed. I mean, 4 years and 3 months for making a cartoon and posting it on Gab. And you don't think that, if you're posting something on Gab, that's perfectly okay. I mean, everybody can see that. The British police can see that, and they can work out who you are from your ISP or whatever. Surely people don't need to be making violent memes to get their ideas across. So let's not see any more young men in Britain jailed just for making cartoons, shall we? It doesn't have to be done like that. You can make very effective memes that don't contain violence in them. Well, I said I've got another positive story here. I think this is a positive story. Hope not hate don't think that it's a positive story. Almost half of the Conservative Party's rank and file members would not accept a Muslim as the country's prime minister, a new poll has found. Well, who would have known that? Half of the Conservative Party's rank and file members would not accept a Muslim as the country's prime minister. Well, what would they do? Would they revolt if Sajid Javid had got into the final round in the leadership election? A YouGov study carried out by anti-racism charity, how they can call themselves a parallel spy organisation, Hope Not Hate, found that just 8% of the party's members would be proud of Britain if we were to elect a Muslim as our prime minister. Well, that's pretty sensible, isn't it? Who knew that the Conservative Party members were so sensible? Is anybody proud of having a Muslim mayor of London and people being murdered and stabbed every night of the week? I mean, just look at the mess the Muslim mayor has made of London. Before you get to the fact that it's basically a Pakistani that is in charge of London now, the capital city of England is occupied by Muslims, is being run by a Muslim leader. I would suggest that probably 90% of the country in Britain would not be proud if Britain were to elect a Muslim as prime minister. 90% of the country would be pretty furious at that, I would suggest. 43% agreed that they would prefer to not have the country led by a Muslim. So perhaps that's all they were actually saying, is that they would prefer to not have the country led by a Muslim, but Hope Not Hate are exaggerating that and saying half the Conservative Party would not accept it. The findings come after Home Secretary Sajid Javid forced the Conservative leadership contenders to agree to an independent probe into allegations of anti-Muslim prejudice in the party. And of course, this is Islamophobia that's in the news at the moment, where they're trying to come up with a definition for it. The police have said this definition that you come up with is unworkable. It means that we won't be able to go after terrorists. And basically what these Muslims want is to make it illegal to criticize any part of Islam, which of course is going to impinge on people's free speech. What Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt and the rest of them are doing, agreeing to this, I don't know. Why are they trying to suck up to Muslims when 90% of their party would not be proud to have a Muslim as a prime minister? Why are they trying to suck up to the Muslims when their party is obviously not as philo-Islamic as they are? Who are they trying to appeal to here? Do they think the Muslims are a massive voting bloc that are going to vote conservative? I don't think they are. The survey also revealed that 67% of Tory members believe that there are areas in Britain that operate under Sharia law, with just 18% disagreeing with that statement. Well, there are areas in Britain that operate under Sharia law. There are areas that are no-go zones. The British Parliament themselves have had an inquiry into Sharia law courts and said, oh yes, they're quite compatible with British law. Laughable. These Sharia law courts deal with divorces, but it's not too far to go from that to chopping people's hands off, crucifying people, throwing people off buildings. That's all a part of Sharia law. I mean, I am really pleased to see that these Tory members are actually so in touch with reality to be thinking this. Meanwhile, 45% said there were areas in Britain in which non-Muslims are not able to enter, with just over a third, 34%, saying that they did not believe that to be the case. Again, these are facts. There are areas in Britain which non-Muslims are not able to enter. The police have to get permission before they can even go into a mosque, let alone non-Muslims going in there, just walking in there. We have whole areas of Britain where white people are not welcome. They're taking their life into their hands by going into them. 40% of those surveyed said Britain should lower the number of Muslims entering the country. compared to just 5% who would say the same for Christians or Jewish people. And of course, they're not going to say the same for Christians, are they? Because we're a Christian country. We're not a Muslim country. We don't want Muslims coming into our country. We can see the problems that Muslims create in every other country that they've gone into, and the problems they create in their own countries where they still blow themselves up and attack one another. They can't even get on amongst themselves. YouGov polled 864 Conservative Party members for the online study. So that's a pretty good sample there. 864 random Conservative Party members. That's good news for the Conservative Party, I would say. I'm very pleased to see that they think that way. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. At RadioAryan.com.